Welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, the podcast where we dive deep, ask questions most people avoid, and have real conversations that wake up and get you moving towards life that you were born to live. Now, let me ask you something that might hit you at home. Have you ever felt emotionally stuck even when everything in your life looks fine on the outside? Like something's off, but you can't put your finger on it? That feeling might be more than stress. It might be your body holding into trapped emotional energy. And it's exactly what we're today's guest on our show spends his life doing, helping people heal. I'm thrilled. I'm excited. I am overly over the top to have back Dr. Bradley Nelson. This is his third time here. I love him. Every time he comes on this show, he is a world of information and his energy is outstanding. It's a positive, strong energy that makes you feel just unbelievable. It's just words can't even describe. So I'm thrilled to welcome Dr. Bradley Nelson, a holistic chiropractic physician, best-selling author, and a visionary creator of the Emotion Code, the Body Code, and the Belief Code. These breaking through energy healing methods have helped countless pain dissolve inner blocks and finally reconnect their hearts with their purpose. Dr. Brad has over 30 years of experience in natural healing and in his books, The Emotion Code and in The Body Code. They've been translated in multiple languages and they've been used in over 80 countries by both certified practitioners and everyday people. Whether you're holding back onto a heartbreak, struggling in your relationships, or battling unexplained health issues, this conversation can change how you see yourself and how you heal. Dr. Brad, welcome to the show, and take a moment to say hello and tell the listeners a little about your mission.
Well, first of all, thank you, Stacey, so much for having me back on your show. It's so great to see you again and great to be back. It's been a really interesting journey for me. It started off, I was 7 years old. I was miraculously healed from the measles. My mother asked my father if he would pray for me. And as he was praying for me, I had this miraculous healing. And then about 7 years later, I ended up with kidney disease, and I was healed from that when Western medicine had nothing to offer through some holistic doctors. And I decided at that age, 13, that's what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to be a doctor. But I got involved in computers, and I was right there. I took a computer class in 1980, and then was a self-taught computer programmer for the personal computer revolution that happened in the early 80s with the Mac that came out, the IBM PC, and so on. I had a business back then called the Computer Tutor. And but then things happened, and it was actually a very powerful answer to prayer, really, that brought me back to the healing arts. And I went to school, became a doctor of chiropractic. And then I had my own practice for about 18 years. And it gradually began to dawn on me in practice from some interesting things that happened that that within each one of my patients was a computer, but it was a computer unlike any computer that I was used to. We use computers all the time. Computers have a screen where we can see messages. They have a keyboard, or maybe if you're using an iPad, you can touch the screen or your phone. You got a smartphone. But the computer that I began to understand was within each patient, had no screen. And so it's not that kind of a computer, and there's no keyboard. And so it's a different kind of a computer. And what I found was that the subconscious mind within each one of us is really that computer. And that's the part of us that's keeping our hearts beating when we go to sleep at night. When the subconscious or when the conscious mind totally shuts down and we go to sleep or we become unconscious, the subconscious mind is there creating millions of new cells every minute. It never shuts down. It's there your whole life. But what I found was that that inner computer will communicate with us through the symptoms that we experience. And so, for example, if you're having physical pain, about 9 times out of 10, that physical pain that you're experiencing right now at this moment is very likely due to some emotional event that you experienced, and that emotional energy was never really processed, and it's manifesting as physical pain. But it isn't only that. I found that depression and anxiety and phobias and panic attacks and post-traumatic stress and self-sabotage of all kinds and eating disorders were all being driven by what I came to call emotional baggage, which is, that's a phrase that so many of us have used right in our lives. I mean, we'll usually in reference to somebody else, we'll say things like, oh man, that, that gal, that Judy, she's really loaded with emotional baggage, right? But we all have it. And I think that that makes sense if you just think about it for a moment. We all have emotional baggage. We've all gone through emotional experiences that we would rather not have gone through, right? But what we're now beginning to understand is the absolutely earth-shaking effect that that emotional baggage has on our physical and mental and emotional health. It's absolutely unbelievable. And when I was in practice, finding that 90% of the pain that people were experiencing was due to emotional baggage, and experiencing situations where that pain would just instantaneously disappear. And I can't even tell you, I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've seen that happen. And we've certified now 15,000 practitioners, people of all walks of life in 108 countries around the world. And they're all finding the same exact thing that I found when I was in practice. And that is that the emotional baggage that we carry through life eventually creates all kinds of symptoms for us. And so the emotion code is just this really simple, easy way that anyone can learn. The book looks like this. Anybody can learn how to do this. The method is all in the book. And
Yes.
if you want to really master it, well, there you go. If you want to really master it, you can go through our certification program and so on. But yeah, it's amazingly powerful. And it's also very, very simple. Kids can learn how to do it. And, it's so funny because for so long, we've b been led to believe really that. That if we're unhealthy, we need to go see a doctor, and the doctor's going to recommend probably some kind of a drug to suppress our symptoms, or he might recommend surgery for us because we've got an organ or gland or something that's not functioning right. But now we're waking up, right? We're moving into this new stage of the Earth's existence. And we're beginning, it's almost like we've been asleep and we're waking up and we're realizing, oh, our bodies are not just machines, they're divine in origin. And that, right, most people, I think, don't really realize that's the truth of it. The physical body that we inhabit is, I believe, really is the temple of the spirit. I had an experience one day with that. I was in my practice. And I had this routine that went on with every person that came in. I had a table, chiropractic table, that would stand up vertically. A person would stand against the table, grab the handles, put their nose in the middle, and then I'd press a button, and the table would lay down flat. And then I would go ahead and, and work on their back and so on. So this patient comes in one day, very routine, and my habit was before I would go to work on somebody, I would just take a moment and ask for help from up above to, so I could open that conduit and have that help, right? And believe me, that works. And so I, just asked for this help silently, and then I turned my attention to this patient lying there on the table, and suddenly it's like my spiritual eyes are suddenly opened, and for the first time in my whole life, I understand on in this spiritual way that I'm standing in the presence of this sacred temple, the temple of the body. And I was instantly filled with the deepest sense of reverence and awe. And then that it was like a little window that opened to my understanding, and then it closed. But I've never forgotten that. And so I think that there's far more going on with our existence than we realize. We're divine beings, and so we're waking up to these facts, and we're beginning to understand that the subconscious mind within each one of us, or what you might call the spirit within, or the unconscious, I believe is so vastly intelligent that we can't even begin to comprehend it. We haven't even begun to comprehend it. They say that the average cell in the body is equivalent in complexity to a full-size aircraft carrier with thousands of people working at their own individual jobs and with, electronic countermeasures and radar and jets on the ramp with their engines spooled up, ready to take off. That's a single cell. That's how complex a single cell is. We have 37 trillion of those. And every minute of your life, you're producing about 3 million new ones, or, give or take. Think of that. And the subconscious mind, I believe, knows the history of every single cell in your body down to the quantum level and even beyond that. And what's really wild is that your subconscious mind remembers everything you've ever done, every split second of your life, every face you've ever seen in a crowd, everything you've ever eaten or tasted or touched or smelled. And when people have an experience where they have a brush with death, they often will experience their whole life flash before their eyes in a moment, right? And it's all there in detail. And then if you watch any of these near-death experiences, which I really love to watch, people get to the other side after, they die, and these are people that have come back, of course, but they die, and then they have a life review, and it's all there. And there's never any judgment or anything. It's just all about, well, what did you learn, and what's your capacity to love other people? That's what, those are some of the things they're asked. And so I think we can get a clue from that about what's really important. And one of the cool things about the emotion code is that when you begin to start removing your emotional baggage, especially that baggage that it gets wrapped around the heart, your ability to love others will increase. Your ability to create the life, the perfect blueprint for your life that lies within your heart, will begin to manifest for you. And life will, for most people, life stops being such a battle, because life, I believe, should flow. You should be in a flow state all the time where everything is just kind of working. And it's not that you don't have to work anymore. You do, but work, everything becomes more of a pleasure because you're in that state, you're in that zone. It's very hard to get into that zone when you're being dragged down into the lower frequencies of vibration by all the emotional baggage that you're dragging around. You've been dragging around your whole life. And some of it isn't even yours. Some of it might be, inherited. That's another thing you can find and get rid of with the emotion code.
I love that. I love that. When I read your book, it was just it was so therapeutic in a sense where it really it helped me tremendously. And you really it really gives you a way to actually heal all that baggage that you have carried around for so long for so many reasons. All the way from childhood. I've had discussions where people, where we talk about a lot of times things happen in the first 7 years of our life and it determines the personality of how we become later. And then
Absolutely.
traumatic events could happen along the way and that's even more baggage. And so and a lot of times over time, we put that, anything that happened 5 years and under, we put it in our subconscious and we don't remember it, but those emotions are still up and going. And we were talking about how, that's why some people are like, you say something or that triggers them for no reason. And that, the reason is probably because it triggered a subconscious emotion. What do you think?
Yes, absolutely right. We have those emotional energies that are trapped within us, and those are the reasons why we get triggered. We hear something, someone says something, we see somebody. If we have emotional baggage about a specific person, We see this especially around the holidays, right? Where, oh my gosh, I'm going to go back home for Christmas and I'm going to see my dad again and all the anxiety, you know, or my brother or whatever, my aunt that I can't stand. And what's wonderful is that if you get rid of your own emotional baggage, then situations like that that used to just be dreaded, now you can just flow right into. And we hear all the time from people in situations like this that things that used to set them off, they doesn't seem to bother them anymore. You know, they're able to deal with life and stay on a much higher vibrational level. I mean, if you think of it, if you think of emotions in terms of frequencies, we use a chart in the emotion code that looks like this, right? There are 60 emotions on this chart, and they comprise the really the range of emotions that we experience in our lives. And you can think of every single one of those emotions as having its own specific frequency. And so if you're feeling an emotion of anger, that's a different frequency than if you are feeling an emotion of resentment, and that's different from anger and so on. They're all different, right? But sometimes what happens is emotions come up, and sometimes we don't want to feel that emotion. And so we bury that emotion. You now have a trapped emotion. Congratulations. Or sometimes what happens is an emotion comes up, and we decide that, yeah, that we're justified in feeling that emotion, and even more justified in really enhancing that emotion and really getting upset. Maybe we fly off the handle. Usually, in those cases, later, we're kind of embarrassed. We think, man, I don't know why I got so upset about that. I really just lost control. We've all done that. That will also tend to create emotional energy trapped in the body, you know, emotional baggage. So congratulations again. We've all done that, right? And then sometimes we just go through emotional experiences that are so overwhelming that we just can't process them. Like, you know, your father passes away, or you know, someone that you love is in an accident, or your husband out of the blue asks you for a divorce, or you know, there are things that happen to us that can just be just devastating and powerful, and emotional energies like that also will create emotional baggage. But now we know that it's easy to find and get rid of this emotional baggage with the emotion code, and people are doing it all over the world, and it's simple enough actually that kids can do it.
Oh,
Just be
really?
nice.
That's wonderful. That's amazing. Wow. Now, let me ask you a question. With the core of your work, something that has truly resonated with so many people, what exactly is the heart wall and what does it form? Even for people who think that they've already moved on or healed from their past, you know.
Yes, great question. Well, you know, back in the 1960s, when doctors first started doing heart transplants, I was around. I remember it was a big deal. But it didn't take too long before doctors started noticing that some patients would come back after their transplant and they would be puzzled because their taste in music or food or sports had totally changed. Sometimes they'd have memories of being in places that they had never ever visited before. And so this was baffling to them. And in every case, when these people were connected with the family of the heart donor, they would find out things like, well, yes, our son was a baseball player. Now you love baseball. And that's weird. You didn't like it before. Or yes, our daughter, you know, she loved to visit Paris. It was her favorite city in the world. And now you have memories of being in Paris at the Eiffel Tower. And you've never in your whole life ever visited there? How weird is that? Those must be her memories. Well, there are whole books written about this, right? It's called cellular memory. And the ancient peoples of this world believed, without any exceptions that I've been able to find, that the heart was the core of our being. That was the seat of the soul. It was the source of love and creativity and romance. And those ancient ideas we pretty much have discarded in our modern era. We're way smarter than that now, right? We know the heart is just a muscle. It just pumps blood. That's all it does. Well, with new instrumentation that we've been able to develop over the last 20 or so years, we're beginning to see that the heart is first of all, it's the most powerful organ in the body. It puts out a magnetic field that surrounds the body 12 feet in diameter. And they find that when one person's feeling love or affection for another person, their heartbeat will become measurable in that other person's brainwaves. And so there's this communication, this really fascinating invisible communication going on all the time between people. And it's kind of like if you walk into a dark room, you know if there's someone in there. How does that work? Well, a consciousness is not limited to just being in our bodies or in our heads. Our consciousness goes out and so on. So when you fall in love with somebody, you're using not this brain, but this brain. We now know that the heart is actually a brain. And it wasn't until the 1970s that they discovered that there is a whole bunch of gray matter and white matter in the heart. And it's called the little brain in the heart, 40,000 dendrites in there. And when they looked at the communications between the brain and the heart, they found most of the communications were not going from the brain to the heart. They're going from the heart to the brain, indicating that the brains in our heads are being guided by the brain that is in our hearts. And so, yeah, isn't that wild? Well, so here's what happens, okay? Think back on a time in your life when maybe you felt like your heart was going to break. Maybe someone close to you had died. Maybe a relationship had died. Maybe you were young. Maybe you were in grade school. Maybe you were in college. Maybe later on. Maybe someone was really hurting you, or you were just deep in grief. Under those circumstances, the heart is under assault. And the reason why the ancients believed these things about the heart was because they observed that when a person was really feeling deeply hurt, they would feel it in their heart. They wouldn't get a headache, they'd get a heartache, right? And most of us, I think, have felt that, like there's an elephant sitting on your chest. I mean, it hurts in here, right? You might feel like you're choking, like you can't breathe. Do you remember ever feeling that kind of sensation?
100%. Many times I felt like that when something dramatic has happened. It's not my head. Sometimes you get a little headache, from the tension. But when I would ache emotionally, it would come from the heart, and I could feel like a compressed feeling and a heavy feeling, and it would just be like an aching emotional feeling within my heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's not only that, but if you watch any of those videos where you'll see someone performing, and they're performing maybe in an unexpected way beyond their own abilities. If you look at the audience, when they pan out to the audience, you'll see everyone's got their hands over their heart. People have tears in their eyes, right? Because their heart is resonating with the heart of that person that is performing, from their heart. It's a crazy thing. Well, here's what happens. When you feel like your heart is going to break and you're feeling that physical sensation, your heart is really under assault. And so what the subconscious mind will do is it will put up a wall around the heart. It will build a wall, an energetic wall, an invisible wall, but a wall nonetheless. And that wall will be made of layers of your emotional baggage. And we call this the heart wall. And the first person that, the whole story about how this came about and how this was really shown to us is in the Emotion Code book. It's in the body code too. And of course, it's going to be in the heart code book. And the heart code book is coming out in December. You can pre-order this book at drbradleynelson.com, drbradleynelson.com. But anyway, the first person that we worked on that had a heart wall is my wife. And she was born into a very volatile family. And by about age two, her dad was a rageaholic. And by about age two, she began to put up a wall around her heart, or her little heart was going to break, right? And so she had that wall her whole life. And the result was she battled with depression and anxiety. She never felt like she ever really belonged in any situation with friends she'd known even for years. She always felt like she was the odd person out, like she was kind of expendable. And we started working on this wall and removing these layers. And it took a couple of weeks. When the last layer, the last emotional energy was gone from that heart, all of a sudden her heart was open and her life shifted in a dramatic way. The next person that we saw, I believe it was the very next person, was a woman that came in to see me because she had neck pain. Very, severe. It's like a 9 on a 0 to 10 scale. And she told me as I was talking with her that she was essentially celibate. She had not dated in 8 years. She was 38 years old. She was a nurse, and she was never going to date again. And I asked her why. She said that 8 years before, she was really deeply in love with this guy that dumped her, broke her heart, and she hadn't dated since then and was never going to date again. And found out she had a heart wall, three emotions, three layers making up this wall around her heart. And all three emotions had to do with the breakup from 8 years before. And we cleared the last one. The pain in her neck was instantly completely gone. 3 months later, she came back into my office and she said, "My neck has been fine since I was here," but she said, "You cleared the heart wall for me, and that really works." 2 weeks after I was here, I found out my childhood sweetheart's been living right around the corner from me for almost 8 years, and we're dating, and I think he's going to ask me to marry him, right?
Oh my goodness. Wow. What a story.
So think about this. I mean, if you've been through that kind of experience where you felt like your heart was going to break, you probably have a heart wall. We find that about 93% of people have put up a wall around their heart, and because the heart really is everything the ancients believed it to be, that really puts a damper on your life. It puts a damper on, your love relationships, makes it more difficult for you to stay in love, to fall in love, to reach, the best person, your soulmate. It makes it hard to manifest all of that because your heart is surrounded by all these layers of emotional energy. But when you get rid of that, things can flow much more easily for you, and you can begin to really manifest the perfect blueprint for your life that lies within your heart. It's not in your head, it's in your heart, see? And so, yeah, that's why we wrote it. That's why my wife and I wrote this book, The Heart Code, because people need to know about this. It's in the Emotion Code book, but we wanted to really bring attention to it again and really shine a light on it again, because it's I believe the most important thing that a person can do for their physical and mental and emotional health, not to mention their love life and their level of financial abundance, that it affects you in every way there is.
Yes, it definitely does. Wow. Now you said the heart wall can prevent us from fully giving or receiving love. What does that look like in everyday life, and how can someone they know that they might actually have one?
Well, really remember that the heart wall is put up as a defensive mechanism, right? It's kind of like bombs are falling, and so your heart needs to get moved into a bunker where it's safe. But then the problem is, if the when the bombs stop falling and your heart is still in a bunker, now your heart gets to stay in that bunker for the rest of your life. If you've been through a divorce, okay, I've been doing this now for 36 or I don't know, something like that, 36 years or so. And I've never seen anybody go through a divorce and not have a heart wall. Okay. So if you've been through a divorce, you probably have a heart wall. If you were abused in any way as a child or as an adult, you've got a heart wall. Remember, roughly 9 out of 10 people have a heart wall anyway. But if you can think back on a time in your life when you felt like your heart was going to break, if you used to cry yourself to sleep at night when you were a kid, if you were just unfairly dealt with, if you've been through difficult life situations, you probably have a heart wall. And this is, on a macro level, Stacey, this is one of the real problems in this world, is that 9/10 of the people on Earth are not living from the brain they should be living from. They're living from this brain, and this brain really doesn't feel anything at all. And
Right.
that's why here we are, and it's 2025, and there's war still going on in this world, even though humanity is advanced in so many ways. Because when you've got a heart wall, you're operating from this brain, and this brain, just uses logic. And so, yeah, it's perfectly logical to use war as the ends, as a political end or to achieve political advantage and so on. Hurting other people doesn't matter because you can't really feel anything with this brain. But the point of life, you see, is to learn how to use this brain as your number one brain so that you're operating from a place of unconditional love and you're ascending up that vibrational ladder. Living our lives in all the low vibrations is where most of the world is, but that isn't really where we want to be. We want to be moving up that ladder. And one of the beautiful things about the emotion code, people say once they have removed enough of their emotional baggage, they often describe how it feels like stepping out of this old suit that they've been wearing into this whole new state of being. And people often report that they feel lighter. In fact, funny story I'll share with you. One of our practitioners told us that she went and worked on this woman, and her son was there. This woman's son was there, and she worked on him too, cleared a couple of trapped emotions. And when she got done with him, he bolted out of the room. And they kind of looked at each other and wondered what was going on. And about a minute or so later, he came back in looking really befuddled. And his mother said, "Are you okay? What's going on?" And he said, "Well, this morning I went in to the, I weighed myself and I know exactly how much I weighed. And I know I have to be at least 10 pounds lighter, but I weigh exactly the same as I weighed this morning and I can't figure it out."
Wow. That is funny. Oh my goodness. That's crazy. Oh wow. Now, what inspired you to explore the emotional energy and the subconscious mind in such a depth? What was it there a personal experience that led you down this path?
Well, when I was in practice, I was just obsessed with getting to the underlying roots of my patients' problems. I wanted to really truly fix them. I wanted to know what was really going on with them, why they were in pain, why they were having all these issues. And I had the perfect environment because I was a solo practitioner, solo doctor. And I had people coming, an endless stream of people to experiment on. And as time went on, and I began to realize that there is this internal computer in every single one of us, that was the biggest revelation. I mean, I remember sitting in class when I was in chiropractic school, and our neurology instructor was up at the board. And at that time, I was actually doing computer programming for the college I was going to help put myself through school. And so he's up there and he's talking about the brain, and he just starts riffing on how the brain is a computer. And I remember sitting there thinking, wow, the brain's a computer. That makes sense. And I thought, I wonder if we'll ever have the technology to be able to access, the information that must be in the brain. I wonder if we'll ever have the technology to create a back door or to communicate somehow with that internal computer, because as a doctor, I can't even imagine how amazing that would be to be able to get information directly from the computer itself about what's really wrong with a patient. That would be unbelievable. And Stacey, I remember very, very clearly thinking, well, maybe in 100 years or two, maybe 300 years, that would be really cool. And then I kind of forgot about it without realizing that's what I've spent my whole life doing, exactly that, cracking the code on this internal computer so that we can ask questions and get answers. And the amazing thing that I found, Stacey, is that as I was working on people day in and day out and asking that internal computer, what do we need to do? What is it that you need? The number one most common thing that everybody had was emotional baggage. And getting rid of that emotional baggage can make a bigger difference than anything else. And then, of course, we have other work. We have the body code where you can find all kinds of other imbalances besides emotions. And then we have also the belief code, our third level of certification, where you can find whole negative belief systems that have been built up that are derailing people. But where we start is with the emotion code. And I'll tell you something else about the heart wall. During the last 10 years that I was in practice, most of the people that I saw had been told there was no hope for them at all. They were never going to get well. They'd never get better. What they had was permanent. And the vast majority of those people were able to get well. But here's the secret, okay? All those people had a heart wall. They all had a heart wall. There wasn't one of those seriously sick people that did not have a heart wall. And sometimes, Stacy, what I would do, I would always do an exam with these people the very first thing when they came in. I would check all the organs and all the glands and see how well things were balanced, how well things were functioning. Look at all the meridians and all the chakras. And it wasn't unusual to find most of the organs, most of the glands out of balance, most of the meridians, most of the chakras out of balance, not functioning all that well. Sometimes with these people, I would just do one thing. I would just release the emotional baggage, the emotional energy wrapped around their heart. And that might take, two or three visits. Then I would retest these same people. And inevitably, I would find that at least 80% of all those organs and all those glands and meridians and chakras were all happy now and purring away like a little Swiss watch, right? It was the most amazing. That's how powerful this is. The heart has an effect on the entire body, far more than Western medicine understands. And so getting rid of that wall that's been put up around your heart. I mean, I never in my wildest dreams would have imagined this is a real thing, but it was shown to me. And now we realize how important this is. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Now you've worked with people across the globe. Can you share a powerful story where someone released their heart wall and experienced profound shift in their lives?
Well, it's not unusual for people to fall in love. And we have seen that when that wall is taken down, oh gosh, let's see. Some of the stories, I think of a specific story. There are so many. And we have, for example, I got a spreadsheet here on my laptop, there's 10,000 stories in it. But in the Heart Code book, oh gosh, let's see. There are so many, and that's one of the reasons why we wrote this book, the Heart Code.
Is there one that just pops out of your head or just like sticks out for no reason?
Let's see. Let me read you one. Here's one. This is from a young man named Tian from Taiwan. He said it was 2 years ago in Taiwan when I encountered this amazing healing method, the emotion code. I've suffered from serious, sad feelings for almost 10 years, and nothing could help me stop the negative thinking and emotions in my head, and I couldn't sleep every night. It almost broke me down. I tried to kill myself twice, but didn't succeed. I used to think that my life sucked and was meaningless and only had suffering. I tried many healing methods like Reiki, EFT, etc., but the effect was limited. Then I found the emotion code and started to use it 2 years ago. Since then, the negative emotions and thinking that had been stuck in my head are now 90% gone. It's not just suddenly resolved, but my sadness and insomnia were more like a process to find myself, love myself, and finally heal myself. Now I'm totally free from sadness and my heart wall. I'm so grateful for being happy again and feel that life is good. I can't thank you enough for the emotion code and everything. Now I'm full of joy and happiness inside, and I want to help people who maybe have the same problems that I did. I realize that every suffering from my past is all meaningful and precious. It's so interesting. Let me read you one more.
Okay.
from a woman named Elizabeth from Idaho. She said, after having my heart wall cleared by a certified emotion code practitioner, I'm just amazed with the results. It took about 5 sessions to completely remove all the trapped emotions and completely clear the heart wall. I have struggled with depression and anxiety all my life. And after my heart wall was removed, these two issues I've dealt with for over 20 years have virtually disappeared. I also find I am much more open and feel an overall sense of well-being that I have not felt in a very long time. I also find that other people, including total strangers, are talking to me and opening up to me, almost like I am projecting a whole different, more approachable energy. And of course, that's exactly what's happening. I wish more
Yeah.
people knew about the emotion code and would give it a try. It will be life-changing, I can promise you that. So anyway, that we have like there's like 5 chapters of stories like this in the heart
Wow.
code. Can I read you one more?
Sure, yeah, definitely.
This is from a woman named Michelle from Ohio. She said, I have only done the emotion code on myself, which you can do, right? But it has made such a huge difference in my life already. I know I have to be able to do this for others. I had an obsession with food and developed a binge eating problem. It is gone immediately. No fighting in my mind about wanting more food. No worrying about if I can eat more without people noticing. It's nothing short of amazing. I'm not as tired. I feel lighter emotionally and mentally. I'm sleeping better. I'm excited about life again.
Wow.
Oh gosh. And there's a whole chapter in here too about pets.
Oh, really?
It's a there's so many because the
Yeah.
emotion code works for dogs.
Makes sense.
It works for cats, works for horses. Here's one from a woman named Sharon in Utah. She said, my cat Mimi developed diabetes. A practitioner worked with her and discovered that Mimi was likely absorbing stress from my emotions. After just one session, Mimi's blood sugar dropped back to normal. Since that energy healing session in May 2016, Mimi has remained diabetes free. Wow,
Wow.
is all I can say. Amazing, right?
Yeah.
Listen to this one. It's from Jody in New York. My white Bichon female dog had 2 huge softball-sized tumors on her mammary glands. After an emotion code session, we released trapped emotions, and in 2 days, both tumors were gone. Wow, thanks.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness.
So,
That's
I just want to point out that the emotion code is not I mean, we don't claim that it cures anything at all.
right.
But what we believe is that the body itself has this incredibly powerful innate drive to be healthy. And
Yes.
when we come along and we remove trapped emotions, all we're doing is removing things that are in the body's way of proceeding back to health, right?
Oh yeah, a
That's
hundred
all it
percent.
is.
70% of illnesses are caused by stress.
And the trapped emotions that people have are a continuing source of stress. So, I mean, think about that. Imagine, you're bullied as a child. Now you're 45 years old and you're still, part of your body is still experiencing that because emotional energy gets trapped in the body. And that emotional energy from that event when you were 12 or 10 or 5 is still there. And so that part of your body is literally feeling that emotion 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
And again, the amazing thing about this is that there's no difference with animals. It's the exact same thing. We use the exact same chart. And so when people learn how to do the emotion code for themselves, they automatically know how to do it for animals. It's the same process exactly. And in fact, when people get certified in the emotion code, they actually have to work on 5 animals to be able to pass, because we know that if they work on 5 animals, some of those animals are going to have some issues, and those issues are most likely just going to resolve. And
Right.
when that happens, it really changes it changes your mentality. And then we have people who just work with animals. We have a I can't remember her name, but we have a practitioner in France who does long distance work with racehorses, thoroughbred racehorses around the world, and does great work and does very well. So, I mean, yeah, sky's the limit. It's pretty fun.
I love it. I love it. Now, when it comes to the skeptics, there are plenty of skeptics out there, people who struggle with the idea that emotions can manifest illness or physical discomfort. What do you say to those people?
Well, we don't really see too much of those people, but we have more and more doctors and nurses that are joining us. We had a doctor recently contacted us and said, said, I don't really understand what this is, but I just can't keep doing what I've been doing. I mean, 20% of all the doctors and nurses have left the profession since the whole COVID debacle. Yeah. And so, quite a number of those are now emotion code, body code, belief code practitioners. It's an interesting thing. I mean, Albert Einstein, probably around 100 years ago or so, made a statement. He said, the medicine of the future will be the medicine of frequencies. And I think he was pretty much ignored. And I think that nobody had any idea what he was talking about except his posse, his buddies that were also, way out there. And Nikola Tesla said something. He said, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And so there's always going to be a need for Western medicine, right? People are always going to need emergency intervention, right? And luckily, we have medications that can help. The problem with most Western medicine is that it tries to deal with everything using drugs and surgery. And gee, most of the time, most people don't need surgery, and most of the time, most people don't need some kind of a drug. But they do need to get rid of their emotional baggage, because that's the number one reason why we have all of these various different kinds of symptoms. I'm telling you right now, if you're listening to this, you're watching this, if you're having some kind of symptom in your life, think about it. Maybe you've been diagnosed with something. Maybe you're just troubled by some nagging ache or pain, or maybe you're dealing with infertility and you can't have a child, or asthma, or digestive disorders, whatever it might be. I'm telling you right now, there is an emotional component to that problem. And sometimes the emotional component is the only component, and you get rid of that component, and things get better. But you might be, if you've been diagnosed, for example, with something, and you're doing everything right, everything you know how to do, if you ignore the emotional component of this disease that you've been diagnosed with, everything else you're doing may not be enough, because the root of it may be the divorce you went through. Maybe it was your parents' divorce. Maybe it was some traumatic thing that happened when you were a kid that maybe you don't even remember it. And that's another amazing thing. I remember once at a workshop, I had a volunteer come up out of the audience. It was this young woman, 21 years old. And I asked her if she had any issues, and she said, no, not really. And so I started using the emotion code and had her hold out her arm, and I'm asking questions. And her subconscious mind revealed that she had a trapped emotion of forlorn, which is kind of all alone, hopeless, desolate, all rolled into one. And we needed to know more. And so through muscle testing, her found that this had occurred in the first year of her life. And I thought, well, she's not going to remember this. And I asked her, I said, do you have any idea what this is about? She had no idea. And I happened to look out of the audience, and I knew that she had arrived with her mother, because I had met the two of them at the beginning of this thing, and her mother was as white as a ghost, and her eyes looked like saucers. And I said, hey, do you have any idea what this might be about? And she was very embarrassed, but she said that during those years, when her daughter was very young, she used to use cloth diapers, and one day she accidentally pinned her daughter to her diaper. So the safety pin went through her daughter's flesh, and she didn't know about it until she changed her the next time. So probably several hours went by, and this poor baby's in so much pain, and her mom must have been totally overwhelmed. So I muscle tested. I asked her subconscious mind, is that what created this? The answer was yes. So then I released it. We didn't need to know anymore. And releasing a trapped emotion just takes a few seconds. So she goes back and sits down. About 10 days later, I get an email from this girl's mother. And she said, I need you to know what's going on. She said, first of all, my daughter has had a problem with her, I think it was her right hip and knee. And she said, it's been affecting her. She's had pain for about 8 or 10 years, I think it was. And she said, it's gradually been affecting the way that she walks. And we've tried all kinds of different things to fix it, and nothing's ever fixed it. But she said, from the moment you release that emotion of forlorn from being pinned to her diaper, her knee pain and her hip pain has been completely gone. Not only that, she said, she's walking very normally now. She was her carriage, her gait was a little bit off. And she said, she's also feeling this new lightness of being that she hasn't felt before. She's telling everybody about this. And she said, I waited 10 days because I wanted to make sure this wasn't just a fluke. But she said, the pain's not coming back. And I just wanted you to know the aftermath of what happened there. It probably took about, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes to do this for her. But think about that. That girl probably, when she got to be, 50, she probably would have needed a hip replacement or maybe a knee replacement. She was already in pain by the time she was about, I think, 10 years old or so. And so we're opening a window, see, into the real functioning of the body, how things really work. And the body is so much more complex. It's divine and the most amazing, beautiful creation. And it communicates to us through the symptoms that we experience. And most of those are caused by emotional baggage. So now we have this beautiful way to get rid of that baggage.
This is truly remarkable. I love it. I love it. Now, you teach people how to access their subconscious to uncover their emotional imbalances. What's the first step that someone who's new to this can do to kind of release it and be able to ensure, that will, if they don't know where, if they want to release it and they just don't know where to begin, how do they, where do they start? Like, what's the first step? How do they begin the process?
Yeah. Well, the first step really is just to realize that that you have emotional baggage. Everybody does. We all have it. And the second step is to realize that you're going to be better off without it, and that it's likely contributing to symptoms and things that you're having in your life. And some of those symptoms are not necessarily things that you would think of as symptoms. If you're still alone in your life and you haven't been able to find your soulmate and you're an adult, well, guess what? That can be a symptom of emotional baggage. Maybe you've been through some other things. Maybe you went through some hard relationships or breakups. And so now you're carrying that baggage around, and that's making it harder. You probably have a heart wall, see? And so then that makes it more difficult. So the first step is to just realize that this is a real thing. Now, if you want to learn this yourself, and I highly recommend that you do because it's actually easy, just order a copy of the Emotion Code. You can go to drbradleynelson.com. You can pre-order the heart code if you want to. And you can learn how simple the process really is. One of the simplest ways to learn to communicate with the subconscious mind is through a little testing method that we call the sway test. That if you want, I can share with your
Yes,
audience.
I'd
So
love you to.
basically, if you put a plant near a window and that plant, if you don't rotate that plant periodically, it's going to end up being bent. When it grows up, it'll be bent towards the light coming in from the window, right? We all know that. Well, light is a positive input for the plant, and so it will move towards the plant. The human body will tend to, if you're standing upright and you're very relaxed, if you're thinking thoughts of positivity, your body will tend to sway forward. If you allow it to and you don't stop it. On the other hand, if you're thinking about thoughts of negativity or falsehood or incongruency, your body will tend to sway backward. And so this is one of the simplest ways that you can actually test this out. You can In fact, if you want, I could walk your listeners through this. If we have time, I don't know how much time we've got.
Oh no, we have time. We have
Okay.
time.
All right. So here's how this works. This works best if you can stand up and you just drop your hands down to your sides. Okay. If you're driving, just wait and do this when you get home. You can, pause it here. And anyway, so you stand up, drop your hands down by your sides, and close your eyes and just clear your mind. Take a deep breath. Let it out. And I usually like to start with something negative to demonstrate how the body will sway forward or backward. Now, if you're sitting at a chair, you can try this on your chair. But what you do is you just perch yourself on the very, very edge of the chair and sit straight up. Okay. All right. But it usually works best standing. So, to demonstrate how the body will tend to sway backwards away from thoughts of negativity, I'd like you to think for a moment about the word war. Now, that's a word that we hear all the time. We've been hearing it all of our lives, right? So we don't generally pay too much attention or go into too much detail. But what I'd like you to do for a moment is I'd like you to think about what's really going on. When a war is being fought, what's really happening on a human level? What are people that are wearing one uniform doing to other people that are wearing a different uniform? What's happening to all the villages and the cities and the countries? What's happening on a human level? What are people actually doing to each other? And think of all the tears that have been shed over all these centuries and thousands of years of man's existence over all the wars that have been fought. Think of all the families ruined, all the relationships ruined, all the sadness that's happened and resulted from all these wars. Now, the moment your subconscious mind connects with what you're consciously thinking, in that moment, what will happen is your body will begin to sway backward. And that's your subconscious mind trying to move you away from the sheer negativity of those thoughts of war. Now, let's shift gears here for a minute. And if that didn't work for you, then you can try it again later and just allow it to happen. You don't want to force it. You don't want to force your body to move. Just allow your body to do whatever it wants to do. So now I'd like you to think about something else. Let's let the thoughts of war go. Okay, those are gone now. I'd like you to imagine that 1,000 years have gone by and you're living in the future, but it's a totally different future than the past. In fact, now you're living in a place where you're surrounded with unconditional love. Everything has love for you, all beings have love for you, and your ability to love has expanded to this almost infinite degree, where the love that fills your heart for all beings, for all of creation, is so huge and so big that your heart can't even contain that love. And that love expands out from you and it fills the whole world and it goes out beyond the world and it fills the whole solar system and it goes out and it fills the immensity of space itself. I want you to imagine for a moment what it would feel like. What would that feel like to be a being, a vessel of unconditional, perfect love, that high, high vibration? What would that feel like? And as you think about that, when your subconscious mind connects with what you're consciously thinking about, in that moment, your body will begin to sway forward. And that's your subconscious mind trying to move you toward that possibility. And I absolutely believe that that is a possibility for all of us. That's something that we can choose. And the world that is coming, see, the earth is in this transformational state, I believe. And this new world is trying to be born. The earth is in labor. And we see all these crazy things going on and all of these old control systems that have had control over mankind for centuries, they're all starting to fray at the edges because there's a whole new world coming into view soon. And it's going to be a world that's going to be dominated and run by unconditional love. That's what it's about. And so I really do believe that that's a future. And that's why I think our bodies go forward on that one. So what you can do with this method, the sway test, is and how this essentially would work is, let's say, for example, you've got some kind of a symptom. Like, let's say maybe your neck's hurting. You could ask of your subconscious mind, you need to say this question silently or out loud. If you're working on yourself, you could say, okay, do I have a trapped emotion that is contributing to my neck pain? And then allow your body to sway. And if there's a trapped emotion contributing to your neck pain, your body will sway forward. That's a yes answer. If it sways backward, that's a no answer. If you get a yes answer, then what you can do is you can look at this chart. Okay. Now you can just Google the chart. Right. There's millions of these in Google Images. And so your subconscious mind knows exactly what emotion this might be. And so what you do is you start with column A and you ask, okay, is this emotion in column A? If it is, you'll go forward. And that means you've eliminated half the chart. You have 30 emotions left out of 60. Let's say that it goes forward. Now what you do is, since you've got 30 emotions left, you have column A left, what you would do now is you would divide column A into odd and even rows. And you would ask, okay, it's in column A. Is it in one of the odd rows in column A, row 1, 3, or 5? And let's say that you get a no on that one. So that would mean it would be in row 2, 4, or 6, right? That's all that's left. And so then you'd ask, well, all right, is it in row 2? Maybe that's a no. Is it in row 4? Maybe that's a yes. Is it anger? There's 5 emotions in each cell. Is it anger? Maybe that's a no. Is it bitterness? Maybe that's a no. Is it guilt? Oh, that one goes forward. So now we have an emotion of guilt. So now at that point, and all of this is outlined very clearly in the emotion code book and so on. Let's say the emotion is guilt. The next question would be, do I need to know more about this? And the reason why is because what we're really trying to do is we're trying to close the loop on an emotional experience, right? And so sometimes the subconscious mind, in order to close the loop finally, might need the conscious mind to know a little more about this. Like, it might need you to know when this happened. And so let's say the emotion is guilt, and let's say you ask, do I need to know more about this? And your body sways forward for yes. Well, then you might ask, okay, well, let's see. Let's say I'm 40. Did this happen earlier than age 20? And let's say that's a no. Did it happen between 20 and 30? Yes. Okay. Did that happen between 20 and 25? No. Around 26? Yes. And then you suddenly remember, oh yeah, I had an affair. That's why my marriage broke up. That's the kind of thing that happens, right? And so, yeah. And so, often people will remember something that happened. Sometimes they don't, and it doesn't really matter because if you don't remember something right away, what matters is that you've released that energy. And if it's important to the subconscious mind that some memory comes back to you, so you're really able to connect with what it was, it might take a day or two, and you might be doing something totally mindless, like washing dishes or something, and then all of a sudden it'll pop into your head. Oh yeah, that's right. I did time for that. I forgot about that,
I love it. Now, so many of us are holding pain that we've never dealt with. Like, can someone begin to trust their body's wisdom? And what role does faith or intention play in this?
Well, that's a really good question. I think that when people read the Emotion Code book, it helps them to understand how this is all possible. You have to begin to think of things in a little bit of a different way. You have to think of emotions in a little different way. I mean, it's odd, really, to think about how 20 years ago, an argument that you had, where you were really angry, now there is emotional baggage from that, and it's like a ball of energy, and it's causing your back pain, for example. It's odd to think of things in that way because we just don't understand emotions really. We haven't understood them. We haven't understood how the body is an energy field. And so faith, there is an element of faith and belief that comes into play. When I was in practice, I found that some of the patients that I saw had been told that no matter what was ever done for them, they could never get well. And what I found was that if a patient really truly believed that, it became very difficult to help them get well because they really, on a deep level, believed they weren't going to get over this. People who think they're going to die, it's like the famous story of the woman that went into the hospital and they ran tests on her. She wasn't feeling well. And they came back and the doctor said, "I'm so sorry, but the tests show that you've got this incurable thing. And, you probably got about 6 months. You should get your affairs in order. There's really nothing we can do. This isn't treatable." So 6 months, almost to the day later, she dies. And then a few months after that, they did a records review at the hospital and found out that her name was very similar to this other woman's name. And their test results had been mixed up. And she got the diagnosis that this other woman was supposed to get.
Wow.
Yeah, but see if, that's how powerful the mind is. If we believe we're going to die, we're probably going to die. If we believe we're going to get well, we're probably going to get well. Do you know? I mean, and so with this work, it helps. I mean, I always think of Jesus, who he'd been, turning water to wine and raising the dead and all kinds of crazy things. He goes back to his hometown. And none of them believed that he was who he said he was. And so it says that he wasn't really able to do any miracles there because nobody had any belief. So, as powerful as he was, the greatest healer the world has ever known, yet people did have to have some level of belief. And so, the nice thing about it is it's a different world than it was even when the Emotion Code book came out. And it came out the same month and the same year that the iPhone first went on sale, just to give you a time frame, right? June, July 2007. But it's a different world now because people in 2 more years, it'll be 20 years that have gone by. And people are now realizing, oh yeah, energy medicine, yeah, that's awesome. It used to just be alternative stuff that was woo-woo, but now I mean, I think it was in the 1980s that there were more visits to alternative practitioners than there were regular doctors. And regular doctors are always going to be needed. They're always going to be around. But the reality of it is, Stacy, there is so much capability that we have to help ourselves, to help our family members, our loved ones. And, thank God Western medicine is there when we need it, right? Because sometimes we need it. And boy, it's great to have it when we need it. But most of the time, that's not what most of us need. And so now we're beginning to realize that our bodies want to be healthy. And the most common blockage in the way is just emotional baggage that now we know how to get rid of really easily.
And it's wonderful. I love it. Now, you've built a global community of practitioners through discoveryhealing.com. Now, what has it been like seeing your methods of practice around the world by people from all walks of life?
It has just been the most amazing thing. I can't even tell you. It's hard for me to wrap my head around it. We travel all over the world, my wife and I. We were just in Japan recently teaching. We'll be in Poland in another couple of months, and we have friends all over the world now, and it's just it's the most gratifying thing and the most moving thing to see people's lives being changed for the better and to see so many thousands of people take back that healing birthright that belongs to them, right? To be able to help themselves and help their loved ones and help their animals in this just incredibly simple way. And, I I told you that I was really obsessed when I was in practice with getting to the roots of my patients' problems. There was another thing I was obsessed with, and that was teaching people how to do this themselves. And because once I learned that this was simple enough, once it had, things for me started out more complex, but then as time went on, they got easier and simpler and simpler and simpler. And I finally realized, wow, anybody can do this. In fact, with the body code, the youngest child that we had heard of, it's only 5 years old, who was using the body code, which is the next level up from the emotion code. Yeah, her mom had an iPad, and with the body code on it, and her daughter would just, touch the buttons and go through and figure out what was going on, and then she would take it to her mom and she'd say, "Mommy, Daddy has this," and I guess she was pretty much always right.
Now, you talk a lot about healing with compassion, not just technique. Why the heart, not just the mind or the body? There's always tr where does true healing begin, always begin? Now, you said it was the heart, right? It always begins in the heart.
Well, the heart is very much a key to healing. And so that's why getting rid of the heart wall is so important. But emotional baggage can exist really in other areas of the body. It can be anywhere. And wherever an emotional energy lodges, it can cause trouble. So, for example, you've got a trapped emotion lodged in your uterus from something that you went through. You might not be able to conceive a child now because of the emotional energy that's trapped there. You've got a trapped emotion that's maybe lodged in your liver. Well, you might not have, or you might have allergies now where you never used to have them before. And you might be thinking, well, what's, I never used to have allergies. Now I have them and everything drives me crazy. I can't stand perfume. I can't, when hay fever season comes, I'm absolutely miserable. And I never used to be, never used to bother me. Well, emotional energy can cause that kind of thing. There are other things can cause these too, but emotional energy is the number one most common thing. And what's interesting is that when we release the emotional baggage, the mind follows. In other words, for example, I'll tell you a story. I had a many years ago, a patient came in to see me, and we were working with her, and we found that she had a trapped emotion of resentment. And she was about 42 years old, and I tested her and found that this had happened when she was, I think, 17, 18 years old. And she said, "I know exactly what that's about." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "It was about this cheerleader that she resented, just really resented her when she was in school." And after all these years, she didn't even remember why she resented her so much, but she still did. If she ever thought about her, she could just feel this resentment welling up, right? And so we released that trapped emotion of resentment. And a few days later, she came back into my office and she said, "You know what?" She said, "Last night I was with a friend of mine from high school. The cheerleader's name came up, and for the first time in all these years, I felt nothing. I mean, I remember her. The emotional doesn't get rid of any memories, but what it does is it removes the electrical charge that is associated with events and people and so on. See, you can
I
think of it
see.
that way. And so if you think about your own life and you think about what you've been through, we've all, I think by the time we die, we pretty much have all been through the ringer, one kind or another, right? So we've all got emotional baggage. And you think about the things you've been through, and you might think that you've moved on. In fact, one last story to wrap up. Very, very early on, when I was first putting the pieces of this together, a woman came into my office who thought she was having a heart attack. She had crushing chest pain, difficulty breathing. Her left arm was completely numb, no feeling at all. Left side of her face, totally numb, no feeling. Looks like a heart attack, right? Well, we were right next door to a medical center, and I told my staff, "Look, we might need an ambulance, but give me 1 minute with her." And so I brought her into my treatment room, and I started doing some testing and found she had a trapped emotion, and the emotion was grief. And grief, let's see, where is grief? It's right on this chart. Yep, column B, row 3, right there. Grief. And so I asked, do we need to know more about this? And the answer was yes. And so I tested and I found, did this occur in the last year, two, three years before? That's when it landed. That's when it had happened. And she burst into tears suddenly. She says, oh, she says, I can't believe that. If I can't believe that's affecting me. She said, I thought I dealt with all that. And I said, well, what happened? She said her husband was having an affair. She didn't know about it. And then she started putting the pieces together, confronted him with the evidence, and her marriage blew up. It was the end of it, right? And she was so in love with him and was so betrayed and so deep in grief. She cried buckets of tears. She went to therapy for a year and dealt with it mentally and moved on. In fact, she had even gotten remarried. She'd been remarried for about a year to a new guy. As far as she was concerned, that ex was just the ex. It was ancient history. He was the past. But as far as her body was concerned, that grief emotion was so powerful. It was still right there in her body. And when I swiped a few times to release that energy from her, the feeling came back into her arm and into her face within about 3 seconds. And the chest pain, the difficulty breathing just melted away. And sorry, I don't usually get emotional, but she left the office about 10 minutes later after joking with me and my staff. And I remember when she left, I sat down at my desk and I remember thinking, what did I just witness? How in the world can, an emotional event like that cause this? Well, now we know that people die of a broken heart. People die of a broken heart every day. And I believe, honestly, Stacey, that woman would have died of a broken heart, I think. And nobody would have known. Nobody would have realized it was really her husband's affair that is, that would have been what killed her. She's still alive and is totally healthy. She's never had any other heart trouble. And that was like 30, I don't even know, 30, over 30 years ago. She has a horse ranch in Oregon. And we're still in touch. But I
Oh,
mean,
that's amazing.
yeah. So, anyway, I just really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, you're
This
very
message
welcome.
has to get out to the world, right? Sorry.
100%.
It has to
And
get out.
it has to get out because, our whole world is run by energy. Our bodies are run by energy, and people have to, sometimes, like people have to realize that if there was no energy, there'd be no existence. We are energy. We are energy. And if we are having trauma and energy frequencies are getting trapped in certain parts of our body and they just build and build and they get bigger and bigger, we're going to get more pain and more pain. But if we are able to release those trapped emotions and we're able to get alignment with ourselves and have everything flow the way it's supposed to, we could live a healthy, happy, and productive life. And who doesn't want that?
Right. Well said. Couldn't agree
One
more.
thing, if someone was listening right now, feeling stuck, lost, or like they've tried everything, what message would you leave them today with?
Well, open your mind to the possibility that that there's more to healing. O open your mind to the possibility that you were born with the ability to help yourself, to help your friends, your family members, your loved ones. You have a birthright to be a healer. Every single person born has that birthright. And the beautiful thing about the emotion code is that it begins to give that back to people. Heart code, body code, all are designed to give people back the access that somewhere long ago we gave up on. And we're conditioned to believe that we can't do anything about our health, that there's nothing we can do. It's completely out of our hands. And all we can do is go to a doctor, and then whatever he tells us is the final answer, and nothing can ever be done. And open your mind to the possibility that that may not really be true, because it's not really true. Doctors sometimes are right, and a lot of the time they're not right. And they don't understand in many ways these other things about the body that really represent what Albert Einstein said, that the
Right.
medicine of the future will be the medicine of frequencies. We didn't
Yes.
know what that was going to look like, but
Yes.
emotion code is what it looks like. It looks like other methods and other modalities and things as well. But the emotion code is one of the ways that we can do energy medicine on ourselves, frequency medicine on ourselves and our family members. I mean, imagine, being able to truly help somebody that you love.
Yeah.
And imagine helping your sister. She can't have a child. She's at the end of her rope and she's getting older and she's exhausted all of her money on in vitro. And the reason is because there's emotional baggage that needs to be gotten rid of. And imagine being the one that helps her. So suddenly
Yeah.
she has a child. Hopefully they'll name the baby after you. You know what I mean? Imagine being able to help, your dad, your mom, your friends who are in pain. I mean,
Yeah.
this is the simplest way to actually do that. It's so unbelievable. But
Yeah.
when people try it, they actually find out, oh my gosh, this actually is real.
Right.
And it is real. And
Yes.
it doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm just the teacher that was chosen. This has really come from up above into the
Yes.
world at a time when we desperately need it. We desperately
Yes.
need solutions.
Oh, we
And
do.
this is just a really simple, easy solution that you have to try.
Yes, 100%. Now, can you tell everybody about your books and the services that you provide?
Yes, absolutely. Well, on our website at discoverhealing.com, we offer certification programs. We have three certification programs. We have the emotion code certification. That's level one, where you'll just learn about getting rid of emotional baggage. And these are for people that want to really master this, or that want to have their own business, their own practice where they can work with people. The beauty of this is that one of the beautiful things about it is that it works at a distance. And so our 15,000 practitioners now around the world, most of them work with other people in other places, other countries, much of the time. Many of these people they'll never actually meet in real life, but yet many of their lives will actually have been changed, right, through this work. So it's really interesting. It's fun because it gives you a way to make a living that you can take with you, right? You don't have to be bound to any location because it works at a distance. You can travel, be free to travel, etc. In fact, we have people that just travel all the time and have their practice ticket with them. The body code is actually the next book that I wrote. Looks like this. And in the body code, what we do is we teach people how to find in other kinds of imbalances. There are six areas of imbalances that are outlined in the body code. And so those are things like other kinds of energies, like physical traumas and things, imbalances in the organs and the glands here in circuits and systems, disconnections between the spirit and the physical body are in there, toxins, what to do about those of all kinds, how to find nutritional deficiencies and things like that. Lifestyle issues are down here. Here we have misalignments, any tissue can misalign. And up here we have pathogens. And so people can find and get rid of those. And there's an app that goes along with the body code. It's called the Body Code System that people can download. And then our third level of certification is the belief code, which is where you learn how to access the subconscious mind and remove entire belief systems that have been built up. And
Wow.
people are having phenomenal success, with that. So it's really a complete system of energy medicine that we put together. And so that's Discover Healing. You can also find a practitioner there. We have a map of the world, and you don't have to work with somebody that's down the road from you. You might find that the best person for you is in Singapore,
Yeah.
or Karachi. I mean, who knows? But you can find people all over the world there. And
Yeah.
then you can work with those people because, again, it's all done at a distance as well as live and in person, too.
Yeah.
And then we've got videos and things there. And of course, we're all over on social media. And then if you go to drbradleynelson.com, drbradleynelson.com, On there, you'll see that that's a great place to pre-order the HeartCode book, and we have some special bonuses and things like that. If you order the book through that site, and you want to get one for all your friends, then you get some special things and so on. So anyway, yeah. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, if we were to take this conversation and wrap it up, what are some of the things that you'd like to emphasize that you'd like the listeners today to walk away with and remember?
Well, let's see. Remember the stories that we've told. The stories about the animals, the lady that died, or that might have died of a broken heart. That's a real thing. And how she's still doing well and didn't die of a broken heart, probably because we released that grief from her husband's affair all those years ago. Think about these stories and think about your own life and what you've been through. You have emotional baggage. There's no question about it, except the question of what are you going to do about it? The sooner you start getting rid of it, the better off you're going to be. And the sooner you're going to be able to cut yourself loose from the weight of that emotional baggage that you've been dragging around all this time. One of the other interesting things I think we mentioned a little bit earlier, and that is that with the emotion code, there's a whole chapter on inherited emotions. Because when an ancestor of yours went through some traumatic thing, the trapped emotion that they developed may have been shared down the line to you. And you might be having trouble with relationships because maybe your eighth great grandmother was jilted at the altar and you're carrying that energy. Or maybe you're having trouble with finances because maybe your great 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 grandfather was thrown in the poorhouse. I mean, who knows? And so those energies are part of us too. And releasing those energies from us also releases that energy from them, apparently, according to the muscle testing. And that's what we see, which is really interesting.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Dr. Bradley. I loved having you on the show today. As always, you are just amazing, and I love what you do. Your the you know the your compassion, your love for others, all the thing you've dedicated your entire life to helping others, and you've brought so much healing to people, and I'm like speechless. You're just a wonderful person. You've taken a gift that was given to you from up above, and you took your calling. You figured out your calling, and you're out here now helping others, and you've helped hundreds of thousands of people, and now you're teaching other people, hundreds of thousands of people globally across the world how to heal more people. And it's breathtaking. You're making a serious change in our world, and I thank you for that, because this is something that everybody needs healing. We all need healing of some sorts, and with the emotional code, and with your whole system, people can get that healing, and they can actually live life the way they're supposed to.
Well, thank you, Stacey. I appreciate your kind words. I just feel like this is my job. That's what I'm supposed to be doing in this world. And I don't know how I got this job. I have no idea, but I'm enjoying it. I'm having a good time. It's really so much fun and meeting people all over the world. There are so many people in so many countries that I love so much. And it's just been so interesting and so gratifying and just an unbelievable, amazing ride so far. It's just so crazy, but the world needs healing. And the thing about it is, the old paradigm was that to be a healer, you had to go to school and spend all kinds of years and decades and so on, but not anymore. Now, things are being compressed and now you can learn the emotion code and suddenly, boom, you're healing people. You're healing your friends, your family members. I mean, you know who you are. If you're on this, if you're listening right now, you're watching this, there's really probably no coincidence at all for that. It's probably because you're supposed to get this message, because there are people that you and only you can help around you, right?
100%, 100%. Thank you so much, Dr. Bradley, for coming on the show today. And thank you for what you do. And I hope you'll be on soon, especially when your new book comes out in December. I can't wait to read it, and I can't wait so we can share it with the world. And I really appreciate you and everything you do. And I love that you have so much compassion in your heart. And you're not just doing this, do it. You're doing this because you love to heal people. You love to help people. And we need more people like you in this world. And you're teaching others how to be, you're their mentor. And and I would, I'm just honored to know you. And you are a wonderful mentor to millions of people around the world. And thank you for being you and for doing what you do.
Well, thank you so much, Stacy. You're very kind. I appreciate that. And thanks for having me on. It was really fun.
Oh, you're so welcome. Well, you have a great day. Thank you so much.
You too. Bye-bye.